tempted to try to sing a solo, but this song is very dear to my heart. And I just sing it to myself all the time. So just pray with me while I try to get through.
not have done all I wanted to do. But Lord, it's been a mighty good day. Amen. We are blessed by our choir. Amen. Amen. One announcement I was asked to make, and I somehow slipped my mind, the fellowship plan for clergy following the close of worship. I was asked to inform the congregation to allow the clergy to go downstairs first. Now, these are not my words. I didn't want to say this, but these are not my words. I was asked by those making preparations to allow the clergy to go downstairs first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now, I'm serious. We're not my words. I didn't say it. Amen. For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to the New Testament, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse number 9, and I'll be reading verses 9 and 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Second Peter, 3rd chapter, beginning with verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Read for your hearing from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 and 10. May the Lord continue to bless us through his holy word. For a subject, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. I have found that we live in a world that celebrates the immediate, the right away, and the right now. We place far too much emphasis on the pursuit of more right now. See, I believe this mindset of immediacy has created a disconnect between living for the now and planning for the future. Culturally and religiously, our elevation of the now causes us, even within the church house, to improperly prioritize. If we are not careful, we will make every decision in light of today, not taking into account the reality of tomorrow. In essence, we will seek to satisfy ourselves and strive to sanitize our lives of those things that may be necessary for the amazing journey that God has ordained for each of us. You see, this journey ending with what the writer of our text calls the day of the Lord. You see, within Peter's second letter, we are challenged to live our lives with the coming of the Lord Jesus the Christ as our inspiration for how we live and how we plan. It is the expectation that one day the Lord will return that provides us the strength as well as the discipline needed to make healthy decisions, to live holy lives, and to contribute to the world as well as enjoy life itself. Though, as the writer shares, Jesus the Christ had delayed his coming so that others could repent, confessing him as their Savior and Lord. You see, the day of the Lord is still to come. And our writer, he announces this because after the fall of Jerusalem, coupled with the aggressive opposition of the Gnostics and others towards the followers of Christ, many who believed became discouraged. They found themselves living between the painful reality of their today and the uncertainty of their tomorrow. Their belief was, how long would it take for Jesus to return? So Peter, our author, admonishes them to stay the course, to live their lives in light of eternity. Though he tarries, as the old saints would say, we should continue to live as if he's coming back today. You see, in light of eternity, what should Christ's disciples embrace to help us in dealing with waiting for the day of the Lord? Well, we need to stay in God's word. For his word reminds us that we are created in the image of God for the purposes of God, especially if we do not have a personal relationship with God. You see, it is in his word that informs us that it takes daily work, it takes prayer and repentance to discern and accept what God has prepared for each of us. His word reminds us that Jesus the Christ is faithful to his promises. You see, the opponents of the faith during the time of the Apostle Peter used what appeared to be the delay of the second coming as evidence that the words of Christ were not true. You see, these harsh and continuous attacks on those of the way caused some to doubt and others to at least wonder, is he really coming back? They watched the church fathers and the mothers die without the manifestation of the return of Christ. So here the writer Peter declares in no uncertain terms that Jesus the Christ is coming back, and he offers a reason why Christ has delayed. You see, the implication of his delay is more a statement of his amazing patience and his never-ending mercy for those who do not believe, than a denial of his promises. You see, he delays so humanity will be granted opportunity to come into the saving reality of the cross. Though he has delayed, we can still take Jesus at his word. This is to encourage us as well. Those who, like our faithful foreparents, we wait for him to come. You see, in a time of great cultural confusion, economic distress, societal unheaval, his coming would be a welcome release right now, even at this moment. For people who understand opposition and oppression, the day of the Lord has always served as motivation. Our ancestors they lived in two worlds, never empowering this world to be the end of all. For most of them, the promises of Jesus the Christ were all they ever had, and it is clear to them that it was enough. While we're waiting, our lives should be active. God's aids, his word aids in this effort. It reminds us the word of God. It refreshes us the word of God. It rises us to stand for our Savior yet one more day. You see, the writer in verse 11 offers a challenge to his audience. He calls them to live holy lives. Amen. You see, holiness is the inward as well as the outward character of God that we can express daily, both through our conversation as well as our living. Holiness here is not simply some intellectual assent to the idea of spiritual purity, but is a concrete and practical commitment to the ways and the word of the Lord that others may see in us. You see, it involves the undeniable wedding of spirituality with morality, which in turn will birth our action in following the word of God. For those who lived during the latter part of the first century and the beginning of the second century, it was important that they commit to the standards set by the Lord Jesus the Christ. You see, these standards were more than the don'ts of the faith, but rather concerned the do's of the faith also. They required compassion. They required hospitality. They required courage. They involved a willingness to serve their generation, even as martyrs for the sake of the salvation of the world. They involved an uncompromising allegiance to the life of Jesus and a non-negotiable determination to please the Lord, not man, to please God and not society. Even when others were angered by their allegiance, we must still continue to stand. We must understand that is not only was required then, but it's also required now. Those who live in expectation of his coming should do so, committing daily to the standards of the Lord Jesus the Christ. But preacher, what are those standards? Well, it means caring for the poor, living Christ-centered lives. It means serving as a conduit of forgiveness and upholding the name of the Lord Jesus through our conduct. It means making every effort to stand up for righteousness, though we may be attacked and even in many cases mistreated. Holiness should be expressed not just by the type of clothing we wear, but by our action, especially toward others. So while we wait, we ought to be active, not just sitting and waiting for someone to give us something. We ought to be active in fulfilling the will of the Lord. Our activities are governed by the Holy Ghost and framed by the love of God, portrayed on a hill outside of Jerusalem on a heartbreaking but liberating Friday. Portrayed through a burial placed in a borrowed tomb, a gloomy Friday, which turned out to be a joyful Friday, a lonesome Saturday, but even a glorious Sunday morning when my Savior and your Savior got up from a grave with all power in his hand. And just a few days later, he ascended into the clouds, and he promised that one day he was coming back for his church, one without spot and one without wrinkle. That is what we are waiting for. That's what we desire for our lives. Peter paints this intense picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The use of his graphic language clearly shows us that in his mind, the day of the Lord will be a pivotal moment in human history. And for in this moment, all things, both good and bad, will submit to God through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And at that moment, no one will escape. The truthfulness of one's life will be clearly evident, and the day of the Lord is coming without warning. And as it is, though, we still desire the day when Jesus the Christ shall return in all the splendor and his glory. We look to the day when after the suffering of this journey, we will finally see him face to face. We look to the day when all who confessed him will be vindicated. We look to the day when his sacrifice on that old rugged cross, that day will pay off. We look to that glorious day when we shall live no more between two worlds, but shall be united with him. We look to the day that inspired our ancestors to maintain a song in their hearts, even while under vicious oppression. The day of the Lord, we still look for in that day, we will sit down at the welcome table and we will declare, what a time, and what a time. In that day, we will be able to sup with him. We'll be able to share with him, knowing there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. And all of us will be able to be there where there will be sunshine forever. Sunday will have no end. The day of the Lord will cleanse every and everyone as well as everything. I like the way Peter put it when he said he's coming as a thief in the night, and which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Not us, but that other stuff is going to be burned up. We shall be with the Lord on the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is coming. Yes. Don't be lulled to sleep. Three-car garage you got is going to disappear. Five-bedroom house going to be destroyed. Lexus, Mercedes, all these foreign cars shall be destroyed. Nothing that you have will be preserved. But the day of the Lord, all that will be burned up, and we shall be with him. He's coming as a thief in the night. The key is, will you be ready? May God bless you. May we stand, please. You know, we live a life under the impression that eternity will be in these forms, in this type of an environment, and that we're just going to continue on to go up and go down in society. But the Bible has been clear in so many ways that that which we observe now will be burned up. And those who fail to accept God's Son as Savior will suffer in the lake of fire. God tarries. His son is tarrying for the opportunity to grant those who don't know him to receive him. That's his mercy. That's his long suffering, waiting for you to accept his son in his heart. So if you're here today, and if you look back over your life, and you fail to recognize when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then if I were you, I'd come forward, give my hands to the officers who stand here before you, and allow them to discuss the salvation story with you. The Bible said, thou would just call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Thou would just confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. These are not the words of the pastor. These are the words of the Lord that he left for each of us. So if you're here, you fall within that area, come forward and don't be ashamed. If you're ashamed of him down here, he'll be ashamed of you before his Father. This is your time. This is your opportunity to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. We remind you that stepping out in the aisle does not save you. Salvation comes right where you are by you receiving him into your life. Right then and there, you're saved. Along with the stuff, along with the baggage, along with all that you are, he accepts you just as you are. So if you're here, yield to the tugging of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and come forward. Perhaps you're one who's already been saved, but you've been looking for a place whereby you may fellowship with a Bible-believing congregation, and the Lord has led you here to Shiloh. We would love to have you to come and be a part of this Christian family. You may come either on your Christian experience or by letter. Is there one? Is there one? Will you come? Will you come? This is your invitation. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Praise God. Praise God. It's prayer time, Shiloh. It's time for us to have a altar call experience. We ask that you might come. Will you come?
Says to pray everywhere with hands lifted with thanksgiving. So if you're able, let us all lift our hands to the Lord as we go to him in prayer. For all that are able, Lord, we stretch our hands to thee. For no other help we know, God. Lord, we thank you, Father, and we give you all praise and honor and glory, Father, for this day. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, God. We thank you how you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins, Father. And how you have given us the gift of eternal life in him, Father. So, Lord, now we yield ourselves to you, God. We humble ourselves before you, God. That you might work out in us, God, your righteousness, Lord. Yes, Lord. that you might work out in us your peace, God, in your joy that endures for all generations, God. Lord, we pray for this world and this generation, God. Lord, that you would continually send your Holy Spirit out to draw those whom you know will have faith in your Son, Father. And Lord, as you continue to draw, comfort us that are weak, comfort us that are weeping, Father. Comfort us that are in need or are suffering, Father. That we will be daily renewed in your strength, God. That we will rely on you and not on ourselves, Father. Lord, we pray for those who may have been in the way of harm during the shooting at True Life Synagogue. Father, we ask that you bless all those who worship you as their God, Father. For Lord, we know that you have said the house of Israel will be your house forever. So Lord, we ask this day, Father, that you just keep them, Father. For the time which you have reserved for them, that you will reveal yourself to them in a way, Father, that they will know that you are the true God and that you have sent your Son, Jesus, Father, to be salvation and the light of the world, Father. So Lord, we ask this day, Father, that you just continue to comfort us and keep us, God. Hold back evil in all this generation, Father. Powers and dominions, Father. In high places, God. Evil spirits, Father, that are sent to deter us, Father, and easily beset us, God. That you will have your will and have your way, God. That you will heal the sick, God. That you will send out your messengers, Father, with boldness, Father. That they not fear man, Father, nor demons, nor evil spirits, God. But Lord, by your strength, God, that your holy ones will stand, Father, and stand firm in you, God. Lord, we pray for the family of Sister Tracy Washington, Father. Lord, comfort them, Father. Lord, give them joy in time of sorrow, God. And give them love, Father, to comfort their weeping, Father. Lord, we also ask that as we prepare to go out from this place, God, that you just draw us into a deeper relationship with you, God. That we not waver in our strength, Father, but that we might grow stronger and stronger each day, God. That we might yield to you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you bless this repast, Father, and the celebration, Father, of the appreciation of our ministers and all clergy everywhere, God. Lord, bless the food, Father, that it be nourishment, Father, and bless our fellowship, God, that we might continually have joy and peace in you. These things we ask in the precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be dominion and power forever. Amen. Amen.